Blog Talk Radio.
Is somebody watching you, or is somebody watching you watch them? Welcome back to another eye-opening edition of Cosmic Horizons Live, streaming out to the world and beyond from our studios in downtown Toronto, Canada. Very frigid evening, to say the least, on this Wednesday evening. And with me, we have return engagement with the author of the Conspiracy Journal, Mr. Tim Swartz. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Why, thank you very much, James. It's great to be back on Cosmic Horizons. It's been a while.
Yes, it has. I took a bit of a hiatus and gathering my thoughts, and lo and behold, tonight, right in Toronto, it's about 5 below 0.
Well, you know, here in southern Indiana, the wind chill is about that. So, not much of a difference, is it?
No, not much. And, you know, terrible events unfolded today in France with three gunmen going into a newspaper and actually mowing down about 17 people. So, our deepest regards to the families of the victims there in France.
Yeah, that paper was a satirical paper, and they've been in trouble before with the fanatical Islamist, you know, for their portrayal, especially with the cartoonist of Muhammad and you know, political figures in the Mideast. So it's an unfortunate thing.
Well, before we get on the show, I'd like to know, you being in the media as well as before, where is the point where free speech seems to offend people, such as cartoons? Do you draw the line being in the media where you think, well, this might offend some people, or are you kind of surprised that certain events actually do offend a lot of people?
It doesn't surprise me. You have free speech, and you know, that's a wonderful thing. But I mean, throughout history, I mean, you've seen examples where, you know, somebody gets offended by a newspaper or other kind of media outlet, and uses violence to make their point. So, I mean, you know, what happened today is, you know, not that new of a situation. You know, I mean, back in the, especially like the late 19th and early 20th century, you know, you had the anarchist that would bomb newspapers and, I was going to say other media outlets, but at that time, newspapers were really the basic, you know, about the only game in town. You know, but if they didn't, you know, if they didn't like, say, an editorial that a newspaper, you know, would put out, they'd go and bomb the offices. You know, so you know, it's an unfortunate thing, and I don't believe, you know, there are, you know, nowadays you see a lot of media outlets capitulating, you know, to these kinds of threats. Well, you know, look at Sony, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they when they were the whole controversy, you know, with the movie about assassinating the North Korean leader.
Mm-hmm.
They had received threats that you know, theaters that would run that movie, The Interview, yeah, that's what his name is,
mm-hmm.
would could possibly you know, have a terrorist activity, and you know, their response right away was to pull the movie. So I mean, I don't believe that that's the way to handle a situation. I mean, you know, you can't let the threat of something like that stop you from, you know, doing what you're, you know, what you have to do. Of course, I mean, you know, there's a little bit of a difference between, say, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, a newspaper or a television station, you know, with an editorial or you know, or a news story, you know, being threatened. But, you know, it's the same thing. You know, if you go and roll over and show your stomach, you know, once, then, you know, it's just going to be easier and easier to for you know, others to make threats just because they don't like something. You know, you get you get a group and say, oh, well, you know this movie has you know, somebody who showed their naked butt, you know, so
mm-hmm.
we're going to bomb the theaters. You know, well, when is it going to stop? You know, it won't.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you show that you don't have the balls to stand up to these kinds of threats, you know, you're just going to get walked all over.
Well, you know, I was listening to another alternative conspiracy show in the evenings that's broadcast worldwide, and there was a person on last night that talked about a lot of disappearances of people. They said hundreds of thousands of people disappear in the U.S. Annually, and through murder, through accidents, but there's a number, tens of thousands of people who just seem to vanish in thin air. They're here today. They could be doing something outside, and all of a sudden, they're gone without a trace. As soon as a person changes, looks the other way, or something else happens. Do you have, with your experience in the media, have you found out that there's a lot of people who just seem to disappear? They just seem to fade away.
Yeah, I don't think that it's, you know, like hundreds of thousands or even tens of thousands, but I mean,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, you do have, you know, in the United States, all over the world, thousands of people who do just basically, it's like they just, you know, turned a corner and, you know, dropped off the earth. And naturally, like you said, I mean, a lot of these situations are people who unfortunately ran afoul of,
mm-hmm.
you know, foul play. Others were involved in accidents. Last year, you know, 2014 especially, you saw a number of cases where they found people that had been missing, you know, some of them for decades, where they had accidentally driven into a lake or a pond or something like that. And it wasn't until, you know, decades later that they were discovered. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people, you know, especially these ones that, you know, that just get in their car and drive away and you never, you know, they're never seen again. The car is never seen again. A lot of them take a wrong turn somewhere and end up in the bottom of a lake. And unless somebody just happens to run across them, you know, that that car can sit there for a long, long time. You know, and most of the cases that were discovered in 2014 were discovered sheerly by accident. You know, maybe police divers out practicing, you know, things like that, you know. But then again, there are a lot of cases where especially it seems to take place in like national parks and forests and you know, places like that, where say hikers, especially children and elderly people, will be with a group or with their family Maybe they get, you know, just a little bit ahead of the group, not too far, you know, just a matter of feet, round a corner, and then they're gone and are never seen again. And, you know, searches are conducted. I mean, you know, they literally, you know, tear the forest apart. They bring in search dogs, no sign of them. There have been some situations where years later they may find the missing person's bones in a very obvious location, someplace that had definitely had been searched during the initial search. You know, it remains a mystery. You know, there's a gentleman by the name of David Palladis who has written, three, maybe four really excellent books about this subject. Missing 411, I think, is what the titles are. And, you know, each book deals with a different section of the United States. And I think the last one that he wrote dealt with cases across, you know, in Europe and other places like that. Now, David is pretty well known as a Bigfoot investigator. And while he never comes out in his books and says that, you know, Bigfoot is responsible, you know, for these missing cases, I think that, you know, the unspoken alludes to these books is that he thinks that maybe, you know, a lot of these cases, it is a situation like that where, some unknown cryptid, is snatching these people, especially the children, because there have been cases where these children have been found alive, and a lot of them are suffering from amnesia and with like brief recollections of being. I know one little girl said that she was taken by a big dog man, as she called it, and it took her, you know, like into a cave and then kept her warm all night before letting her go. You know, other situations obviously don't come out quite as good as that case. There was a case in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park where a little boy had disappeared. I mean, just almost right out from under his parents' grasp. You know, it's a situation where like they turned around, they heard him scream, and he was gone. And then some other hikers a few miles away a little while later said that they saw what they described as a large hairy man up on a ridge carrying something over its shoulders that was screaming like a child. So, you know, it just makes you wonder. Palladis also mentioned that I guess that especially in the Appalachians and the Smoky Mountain areas, it's well known to the park rangers there that there are people that they refer to as wild men who live in those mountains. You know, they didn't say, you know, like Bigfoot or anything like that. They just called them wild men. So, you know, I mean, you know, your guesses would be as good as mine. I mean, you know, there is a very good possibility that, you know, there are people that at some point in their life just, you know, chuck civilization aside and, you know, just go up and, you know, live in the mountains. Or there could actually be, you know, feral people who have, for generations have lived in these remote areas and really have no real, you know, civilization or society about them. You know? So, I mean, that's a very good possibility.
Well, on one of your conspiracy articles, UFOs, astral travel, and visiting other dimensions, maybe some of these people, Tim, have actually gone through some sort of a tear in the dimensions or some sort of a time warp. Because it seems a lot of people that, you know, that just disappear, they could have been back through time or stepped into another dimension. And touching on that subject a bit, what about time travel? I believe a while ago there was a test done at a university that they actually made, I think, a beaker disappear and appear like maybe 5 or 10 feet away at the time. It traveled through time to another dimension. Now, do you think it's possible that you could actually travel through time and it's here now, or are they still working on that?
You know, there have been stories going around for a long time that you know the government or the military or who have you in the United States has developed time travel or interdimensional travel or a little from column A and a little from column B. Supposedly some of the stories I've heard that the Philadelphia experiment that took place during World War II. Where they were trying to develop a way to degauss ships so they wouldn't be susceptible to magnetic mines, and that the ship actually disappeared from our reality, appeared again in the Philadelphia shipyard, and then disappeared and reappeared again. And there were people who have come forward and said that they were, on that crew, and that the ship actually traveled through time and space, and then the whole thing went like very, very black top secrets, and they developed a controllable time dimensional travel from that point. It's difficult to say whether or not those stories are true or not. I do think that time travel is probably possible. It may be a situation where, and I've thought about this a lot, I've discussed it on other shows and written about this, that time travel as we know it may not be possible, but there could be, say, like a parallel dimensions, parallel universes that run alongside our own, that are maybe a little bit, that their time frame may be a little bit, slower or faster than our own, and that we could actually, travel to these other dimensions either through, mechanical or possibly there even maybe, natural ways, like you were talking about, like rips in time and space and that sort of thing. You go to one of these parallel universes, and they're almost exactly like our own, but say you go to one whose time is a little bit slower. So to you it would be say like in the 19th century or the 18th century or something like that. Some of them their time rate may be a little bit faster than ours, so it would look like that you were going to a future world. Right now. Modern physics, is working really hard in trying to understand the whole time thing. I mean, it used to be, not even 10, 15 years ago, that physicists would refuse to even contemplate the idea that that time travel is possible. But as time goes by, I think that we're getting a better understanding on how the universe works. And some of these scientists are becoming more and more friendly to the idea that it may be possible to do it. I mean, they definitely would say that it's very possible to travel forwards in time. The question is, can you actually travel backwards? Can you go to the past? Mm-hmm. And if you do go to the past, and then try to return, would you return to the same time frame that you left from, or would you be forced to return to a, say, like a branching time frame? Because no matter what you do, if you traveled in the past, it's like the story from Ray Bradbury. You go into the past and step on a butterfly and come back and find that cats have taken over the world or something. But the thing about it is that you do travel to the past. Everything that you do is going to have an effect that is going to affect the timeline. So more than likely that it would be impossible for you to return to the same timeline that you left from, because you have changed it to such an extent that that this reality, this universe as you know it, has branched off into all kinds of different directions. So it would be, it would be almost impossible to return. I mean, you return to a time frame that would be almost identical. You know, there'd be, like some subtle changes, like maybe 9/11 never happened, or,
right.
Something along those lines. But I do think that there is a natural effect going on. Mother Nature is an amazing thing and can show us, how a lot of things are possible. And I do think that there are natural events that take place. Time slips. I've talked about this on your show before and written about it quite a bit, where people will just suddenly realize that they're no longer in, the time that they were just a second ago. It seems like that they're, in the past or in the future. Most of the time, the event only lasts a matter of seconds before, their awareness brings them back to where they left. Some people, who knows, some people may have that experience and never be able to come back, which may account for some of these disappearances that you were talking about.
Well, they said, I was reading a Stephen King novel, and there was an article in there where a man could travel back through time and probably stop the JFK assassination, but they said once you go back in time and you start messing with the events, it could be disastrous circumstances for everybody if you ever happen to return. So you can't really alter history, or you're not supposed to alter history, supposedly for the good of mankind, if you do travel back in time.
Well, who knows? I mean, one of the things that scientists have discovered is that the future does have an impact on the past, that somehow echoes from the future, ripples from the future can actually reach back into the past and affect it, and thus affect the future. So we may be experiencing changes from the past all the time. We just don't realize it because, you think about it, you drop a pebble into a lake and you see the ripples extend out from that pebble. Well, think about time and our timeline the same way. And as those ripples cross our own timeline, it erases everything that had happened before and creates a whole new timeline. And we would never, we would never perceive it. It would just, everything would just seem normal. We would forget about what had happened, in the past, and we're now on a completely different timeline. This may be something that is a natural event that happens all the time. Some people have reported that they have become aware of these changes in their timelines, where like they'll go to sleep knowing that, say, there is no North Korea, that after the Korean War, North Korea was invaded and destroyed, and then wake up and surprised to see that there's now a North and South Korea. I hear stories like this all the time. There was a woman who, I think it was in Spain, when she woke up one morning and found that that her life had just suddenly changed. She remembered working at this one place. She went to work, and she still worked there, but she had a different job. She remembered having a boyfriend. She didn't have the boyfriend was no longer around. Didn't even remember her, just weird, unusual changes like that. So, it's this may be something that happens all the time. That just most of us just aren't aware of it.
Well, when we talk a little bit about the phenomena and what, talk about time slips and inner dimensions, on your website, too, on the Conspiracy Journal that I get every week, there's an article about cellular memory and organ transplants. And from what I'm reading here, it said it's possible to manipulate the DNA in the cells to actually, grow new organs. Have I got that recollection right from your article?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean it's something that they've been working on for quite a while. The idea that you could take, you start out first, say, like take cells from a heart, and are able to basically clone that heart. With the idea that eventually maybe you could just take, say, like stem cells from any part of the body and grow any organ that you want. But, you know, the main thesis of that article is that, and this is something that has come up quite a bit in modern times with the increase in organ transplants. Say a woman gets a heart transplant from a young man who died in a motorcycle accident. Well, mm-hmm. After a while, she suddenly develops a liking for, say, like nachos and hot sauce, when she never had that desire before. And come to find out that was like the favorite meal of the young man whose heart she received.
Yeah.
There was a case, I think it was just last year, where a gentleman received a heart from a young man who died in an accident, and he kept having dreams of a young woman, you know, like with long brown hair, and you know, and he just felt like, you know, this was somebody that he knew and just was really attracted to. Well, when he finally met the family of the man who gave her heart, the girl that he was dreaming about was his sister, and they actually fell in love and got married. And I mean, he reported, yeah, I mean, this was the girl that I had been dreaming about, you know, this guy's sister. So somehow there is a cellular memory, you know, that possibly, rather than having our memories just strictly, you know, stored in our brain, you know, possibly it's more almost like a holograph where every part of our body stores memories that you could actually, like, maybe remove, you know, like one part of your body, and all of your memories would be in that little part, just the same as any place else. And that seems to be coming, more and more apparent as these stories come out from organ transplant recipients.
Well, geez, you know, Tim, this half hour really, really flew by. We got about 2 minutes left on the program. Can you give the listeners out there your website and how to receive your conspiracy journal? Because I find it fascinating every week that I get it in my in-mailbox, and it gives me a lot of questions to ask you on the show.
Well, sure. It's our website is conspiracyjournal.com. I'll say that again, conspiracyjournal.com. And we also we put out a free email newsletter every week. You can sign up with your email address for free. There's a little box on the top right-hand side of the website. Give us your email address. You'll be signed up. You'll get this newsletter every week. I mean, it's I get these stories from all over the world from people who send them to me, and then I have to kind of like whittle it down because I get hundreds of stories every week, and I can put about six or seven of them, you know, in the newsletter every week. But, I mean, it's, everything weird, strange, and unusual that happened in the world that past week, you know, I try to get it into the newsletter for, you know, you, the reader, to read and enjoy and just realize what a strange and wonderful world that we live in. And I'd also like to, if you don't mind, James, I'd like to plug my new book real quick. It's just come out this week or so ago. It's called America's Strange and Supernatural History. You can find it on Amazon.com. Got article or chapters in there by William Michael Mott, Olaf Phillips, Tim Beckley, Sean Castile. I highly recommend it, but you know, it's just a fascinating account of just all the weird things that have happened over the years in the United States.
Well, thanks a lot, Tim. It's been a great pleasure talking to you, and we hope to do it again next week right here on Cosmic Horizons Radio.
All right. Thank you, James. Have a good evening.
Thank you very much, Tim. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, someone out there always watching you. Watch them.
If you're so worried about my effect on the kids, don't publicize it. Stop asking me about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game for anybody to ask me about my feelings on drugs and then put me down for talking about it.
Right.
If they don't want it to spread round, stop writing about it and stop asking people like me whether they take drugs or not.